Now, the scripture reading this evening is taken from the book of Romans, chapter 10. I'll be reading verses 1 to 17. Romans 10, 1 to 17. Brothers, my heart's desire and prayer to God for the Israelites is that they might be saved. For I can testify about them that they are zealous for God, but their zeal is not based on knowledge. Since they did not know the righteousness that comes from God and sought to establish their own, they did not submit to God's righteousness. Christ is the end of the law so that they may be righteous for everyone who believes. Moses describes in this way the righteousness that is by the law. The man who does these things will live by them. But the righteousness that is by faith says, do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down, or who will descend into the deep, that is to bring Christ up from the dead. But what does it say? The word is near you. It is in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith we are proclaiming. That if you confess with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with the heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you confess that you are saved. As the scripture says, anyone who trusts in him will never be put to shame. For there is no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is Lord of all, and richly blesses all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. But not all the Israelites accepted the good news, for Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our message? Consequently, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word of Christ. This is the word of God. Over the past weeks, you have heard from President Bush the State of the Union, from Governor Weld, the State of the State, from Mayor White, the State of the City. At our annual church meeting earlier this month, you heard from Dr. David C. Fisher, our pastor of the State of the Church. And every day we get a State of the War report. This evening, I want to give you the state of the missionary program at Park Street Church. As I look back over this past year and review all that we have done together, the one thing that comes to me in a most impressive way is faithfulness. Yes, friends, you have been faithful to the 73 missionaries that God has given to us as the family of Park Street Church. You have been faithful to them, not with the weapons of the world, such as tanks and guns and the various things that we hear about every day, but as Dr. Bacon brought to us this morning, we are in a spiritual warfare. And the war in the Persian Gulf will end, and other wars will begin in other places, and so shall it be till the end of the time, and our Lord returns. But there is, in every part of the world, every day, the war that goes on with the lives of men. And the war that Satan is waging against the people of God, endeavoring to distract and to set aside those servants of Christ who are endeavoring to fulfill his call and to proclaim his gospel to the ends of the earth. Our 73 missionaries are involved in such a war. And you have been faithful to them in prayer, that spiritual weapon that God has given to us to break down strongholds, to open doors that are closed, to give encouragement where there is discouragement. You have prayed for our missionaries. They appreciate it. And that has upheld them over this past year. The missionary program of Park Street Church is people. It is not just 73 missionaries, a certain dollar figure of support that goes out, certain prayer and a conference, or all of the things that we think of as the missionary program at Park Street Church. My friends, these are individual men and women with children and needs and opportunities and discouragements. Every day to my desk comes letters from all of these missionaries. Some are experiencing great days of opportunity. Others, they're going through difficult times. But we give to them prayerful support. I write to them as I have opportunity. And when they come here at the time of the missionary conference and from the letters they send to you individually that have pledged support to them, they write to you and you return, write to them that they might be encouraged. You have been faithful in giving to the support of these missionaries. Now, as we have the faith promise method of pledging here at Park Street Church, that means that individuals at our missionary conference have set aside specific amounts of money and pledged them to certain missionaries of these 73 that are on our roster. So you have committed to us certain amounts of funds that then go out to the various missionaries around the world that are serving under the family of Park Street Church. In the calendar year of 1990, to support these 73 missionaries, you have contributed $619,000. All of that money has gone out from this church in the past year. In addition to the missionaries that are our regular family, many in our congregation are concerned for others, with other agencies doing a number of different kinds of spiritual and missionary work around the world. This would involve the various Christian organizations as well that are doing Christian work. And they desire to support these agencies and give through the Park Street Church program. And for that, in 1990, you gave $84,000. We had two appeals during the year from the World Relief Commission, which we are strongly committed to and have been giving to them for a good number of years. They feel at liberty when specific needs come to bring them before us, and we in turn bring them to you. And your faithfulness to World Relief Commission in 1990 meant that we sent to them $36,000 of money that you gave to us for the relief of suffering and famine and disaster for people around the world. And these monies are distributed through the missionaries and other Christian organizations in the country where the need happens to be. Now you put all those figures together, and that's $739,000. That money is all gone from here. You gave it to us, we sent it on, and it is doing the work that you intended for it to do. Now, missiologists have written a great deal in the past number of years, and we see increasing articles on the matter of short-term missions. This is something that we've been involved with here at Park Street Church in an increasing way over the last few years, and we are committed to this. And the missiologists tell us that the young people today, many desire to have some kind of mission experience for a couple of months, a few weeks, maybe a year, 2 years, before they give of themselves totally or make what we call a career or a lifetime commitment. Many do not feel at liberty to make that kind of a promise without some kind of experience in a short-term situation. In 1990, 31 people from this church went out in some kind of a short-term situation. Most of them went with our particular groups, the young adults groups led by Doug Calhoun, or the Seekers went to Appalachia with John Kyler, and our high school group went with Daniel Harrell to Benin in West Africa. And you that were here on that Sunday evening, you heard the testimonies of those high school men and women that came and told what God did in their lives when they went to Benin in West Africa. And the young adults came, and they told what it meant to them in the missionary journey that they went on the Seekers as well. In addition to those who went out in those organized short-term trips, we also had four women from Park Street Church who went out, three for a period of 2 months during the summer, on overseas short-term missionary assignments. And then one woman, Betty Nulty, went last November for a two-year short-term commitment in medical missions to the country of Zambia. So those 31 missionaries, short-term, that went from this church, we brought in support for them and contributed some from general undesignated money here at Park Street Church of $75,000. Urbana World Missions Conference was in December, and 15 of our congregation went to that missionary convocation. We thank God for the interest in missions on the part of our young people in this church. 9 of the people that went to Urbana needed some kind of financial assistance. I am happy to say that through our missions program and funds that you as a congregation have given, we're able to assist 9 of these with financial scholarships for Urbana. Now, of course, there is some administrative cost, and it is considerable for a program of this magnitude. For the entire missions budget in 1990, we took in $971,000 that was given by this congregation. It took approximately $124,000 for administration of such a program, which is a 13% of the total budget figure. Now, we would like to see that reduced to something in the area of about 10% or even lower. And it would be possible to do that with increased giving by the congregation, and our overhead could be not much affected by that. In giving that large amount of money to world missions, that means that 50% of every dollar that comes into this church goes back out to missions, less the administrative cost that we must have to maintain the kind of program that we have. We thank God for that. We thank God for your faithfulness and your commitment to this program, and it gives us great encouragement for the years ahead. Now, you might ask, rightfully so, could we have done more with that large expenditure of money? Possibly we could have. But I am very mindful, as is the pastoral staff and the Board of Missions, that we're dealing with the lives of men and women that God has called to a specific ministry in a specific location. We are not like a corporation who has something to sell. We do not have profit and loss statements. We do not have a bottom line that someone will look at the end of the year and say, well, we've been successful, or we haven't been successful, or some other kinds of barometers as to whether or not the corporation or organization was successful. We are dealing in spiritual matters. We're dealing with men and women whom God has called to a ministry, to a particular place, who are going out and ministering the gospel in some part of the world that God has sent them to. Yes, when the letters come, some are very exciting. There's a lot of results and many wonderful things that we read as to the harvest of souls and how the church is being planted and flourishing in a particular area. But I also get letters from others that seemingly show very little advance from year to year. But I know that some of those letters that I read with wonderful results of what God is doing, there was a time, maybe some years back, when their letters came and they didn't have any such statistics. Because there is a time for planting, and there's a time for watering the seed, and there's a time for reaping. And there will not be a time of reaping unless there's first a time of planting, and a time of patiently waiting for the sun and for the water to build up the seed, that it might grow. And so, yes, we are open to change. We have had in the past year meetings of our strategic planning committee where many of these things have been reviewed. And we are open to changes. We are open to suggestions. We are looking strategically at what we are doing in the Board of Missions. But we're very conscious of God's call in this matter, and that what we do will indeed be done at the leading of the Lord. One of the things that concerns us in one way and another way, it's a cause of great joy, is the aging status of our missionaries. Now, a great number of missionaries went from this church in the late 1940s and early 50s to various parts of the world. They went out many times in pioneer situations. They didn't have the resources that missionaries have today. They went into very primitive areas. The people had no Bible in their own language. They were very poor. They didn't have any modern conveniences. There were no schools. There were no leprosariums. There was no clinics. There were no hospitals. And they had to begin at the very beginning with these people, most of whom had never heard the word of Christ, had never heard a thing about the Bible or any salvation in Jesus Christ. This was very beginning work. But because these missionaries and hundreds of others like them throughout the United States and Canada and Great Britain went all over the world in those years with the call of God upon their lives and great in faith, but they didn't have many resources to work with, but they had the Lord and they had faith. In one generation, in places around the world, the situation has completely changed. Where once there was no written scriptures, now they have the Old and New Testament in their own language. Where once there were no pastors, there are people who have been won to Christ, have been disciples, Bible schools and seminaries have been established, and the national church has been raised up with their own leadership. Where once there was no schools, there's schools and leprosariums, and now there's clinics, and now hospitals established, and feeding programs and means available to meet the needs of the people that are in very great distress. I think of World Relief Commission and the opportunities that we have through what these missionaries, this generation of missionaries have done, that we can respond quickly to emergency needs around the world. And so when I see these missionaries returning after 35, 40, 43 years of missionary service, it gives me great satisfaction. And indeed, as you sit here tonight, many of you listening on the radio, have had an integral part in the prayer, the support, and the encouragement of these missionaries that went out in those early days. I think of the situation in West Africa. When the missionaries went out there, it was primitive work. Many of the early missionaries died from disease, but they kept going. And others went to fulfill the commission that God had given them to build the church in West Africa. Many of them went out under the Sudan Interior Mission and other missionary agencies. In one generation, in West Africa, there are over 4,000 national churches under the organization known as the Evangelical Churches of West Africa. Many of them have their own pastors who have been trained in a Bible school or a seminary. Unfortunately, a great many more have no pastoral leadership that has any training, and that's a great need. Over 4,000 churches, all led by African leadership, African bishops and African pastors, completely led by the national brethren, is now in a support role, all in one generation. By those kind of missionaries that are now retiring and coming back to Park Street Church. I think of the country of India. Dr. Theodore Williams has often been here at this church and spoken at our missionary conferences. Dr. Williams heads up the India Evangelical Mission. That organization has over 3,000 missionaries. All of them have at least a year of Bible school education, and men and women, and they go out all over India proclaiming the gospel. Over 3,000 missionaries. Yes, the national church is strong in a good many places in this world, and we thank God for it. We thank God for the faithfulness of those who have gone out. We are replacing the missionaries who are retiring. You will recall at our last missionary conference, we had four candidates that came here before you, and you faithfully prayed for them and you gave to their support so that before the end of last year, they were all out on the field. Don and Eileen Mills were over in Nepal. James Taylor went to Singapore and then on to his missionary work in Taiwan, where he is today. And then John Bernard and Ralph Tone went down to Costa Rica to language school, and next year one will be going to Mexico City, the other will be going to Spain. Yes, younger missionaries are coming, and we thank God for those as they replace the ones who are going into retirement. One of the great needs amongst the national churches is theological education. We are mindful of that, and we are strategically looking at opportunities that we have to help those who are getting training in the third world that they might have trained leaders for their churches. During this past year, through discretionary funds that were available to us in the Board of Missions, we have either given complete scholarships or shared in the scholarships of theological students in France, Yugoslavia, India, Nigeria, and the Central Africa Republic. When I look at the situation in India and other countries have similar opportunities where there are many national missionaries who can go out and can proclaim the gospel in those countries for a fraction of the cost of sending a Western missionary over to some country to do a similar task. I believe it is strategic upon us to look at the situation, how we could begin to do something to help our national brethren to send out more missionaries into their own country, into some areas roundabout where they have opportunity to go with the education and with the national leadership like Theodore Williams, whose organization is set. It supervises the missionaries, it trains them, it gives them the encouragement, brings them home for conferences. With that kind of support, we can have great confidence in the national church and wholeheartedly give them financial support to help their missionaries. Now, what's ahead for the future? We are actively moving towards our April missionary conference, which will be from the 21st to the 28th. It's 1 week earlier this year. And instead of 10 days, we have 8 days. We're starting on a Sunday so that our first meeting will be our strongest meeting of the week, our two Sunday morning services, where together we're getting about 1,000 people here every Sunday. That's the way we'll start our missionary program. And the first Sunday, Dr. Franklin Graham of the Samaritan's Purse will be with us. Dr. Graham is the son of evangelist Dr. Billy Graham, and he's a fine speaker. We're looking forward to his being with us. We will have afternoon meetings, as been the case in the past, and then in the evening, also, our missionary speakers will be reporting to us. During the week, we are going to have some special theme nights, but we'll be starting off on Monday with our Bible study hour. This year, the speaker will be Dr. Scott Hafeman, professor of New Testament at Gordon-Conwell Theological Seminary. Dr. Hafeman has come highly recommended to us, and we look forward to his ministry with us each noontime as he opens up the Word of God to us in the book of 2 Peter. We are keenly interested in helping our missionaries when they come home on furlough and when they are here for a week with us in our conference. Very few churches in the United States have a week-long conference anymore. Most of them would have a Wednesday to a Sunday. Many others have just weekends or a couple of weekends a year for their missionary emphasis. So we're one of the last churches with a week-long conference. But when you have missionaries that have come and have traveled around sometimes many times before they got to this conference, as I mentioned earlier, some of them are retiring now and they're probably coming to their last conference, to come to the kind of program that we have day after day is tiring on them. And we took a survey a couple of years and we determined from some of the responses of the missionaries that they'd like a little more free time, that they could talk with one another, they could rest or do whatever they feel they would like to do in the afternoon, so we have cut back somewhat on our program. However, we did insert something for them this year that could be, we feel, of specific help to them, and Dr. Scott Hafeman has written a book on the matter of grief and suffering, and he's done a lot of research and got a degree in this particular area, and so we've asked him to minister to the missionaries for an hour in the afternoon on this particular subject. And as missionaries on the field, some for many, many years, they've experienced a lot of grief and a lot of suffering. And so this is a subject which I believe we can be a real specific help to the missionaries, and that'll be available to them each afternoon. On Monday evening, we'll have missionary speakers, and then we go into four nights of what we're calling this year theme nights. On Tuesday, it's going to be medical missions. And Dr. Robert Foster will be with us along with Dr. Stephen Duncan. And then we are going to have Dr. Paul Eckhoff with us as well. Dr. Eckhoff will be a candidate at this year's conference. And those three medical doctors will be telling us about medical missions. Then on Wednesday evening, the Young Adults program under the direction of Reverend Calhoun will be putting together the program for Wednesday evening. The young adults have a vital interest in regular prayer support, in correspondence, and a significant financial support of several of our missionaries. And so they will be telling us about some of those missionaries that will be providing music and so on the Wednesday evening. On Thursday night, it's going to be Bible translation night. I talked about those missionaries that are retiring. One is Doreen Barry. Doreen Barry has spent 43 years in the country of Chad. She has given her life to the people in that land. And what a rich reward that woman has, and the things that God has allowed her to do is just so very, very encouraging. In the last 10 years, she has been responsible for the translation of the Old Testament of the Ngumbi Bible. She has now completed that project, and she will be bringing copies of that Bible to us, and we are going to have a special presentation to Miss Barry on Thursday evening. Then there will be some other speakers pertaining to Bible translation that we will hear from on Thursday. On Friday, we're going to have Focus on China Night with Dr. David Adney of the Overseas Missionary Fellowship. He is with the same organization that Dr. Bacon was with this morning. Dr. Adney first started in China in the 1930s. He was there when China closed to the communists in the late 40s. Dr. Adney is an expert on the situation in China. And when you come here on that Friday evening, he will have people to give testimony, he will have up-to-date slides, and you will know when you leave that Friday evening what the real situation in China is. And that will be a highlight of our week. And when Dr. Adney comes into an area, he draws a great many people from all over the metropolitan area. People will be coming down from New Hampshire, they'll be coming up from the Cape, and we expect that to be probably one of the largest crowds that we will have in the entire week. Now I want to tell you about our candidates as we close this evening. This year I had 12 applications for career missionary service. Some say, well, young people aren't interested in career service anymore. Well, you couldn't tell it by me. I had 12 applications this year. Four were from members of Park Street Church. Eight were from people outside of our church congregation. Seven wanted to go to career overseas missionary service. Five had ministries here in the United States. This year, we took two candidates. One was Shelley Stocksdale, who has been with us for a good many years. She worked for a number of years in our Focus program, and then God called her to go over to Asia as a teacher of English as a second language. Now, she was a short-term missionary, And when she went out, she said, God has called me to go 1 year for this specific purpose of teaching. She went for the year. At the end of that term, she felt God said, go another year. And she kept doing that till she had 4 years. And she came back after her last 1 year stint as a short-termer, and she was in my office. We were talking, and now she was getting ready to go back again. I said, Shelley, you're going to have to stop this short-term missionary service. I said, you're no longer short-term. You are now career. And so she has now signed up for a 4-year missionary service in that same country. And so Shelley will be presented as a candidate. She is already serving in that country, and she will not be able to be with us here at the conference. But we are going to have a video of her work, and we will have other presentations about her, and many in our church here know Shelley, and so she will be one of the candidates. And this is an example of what short-term missions can do. She didn't commit her life to full-time service. She committed her life to 1 year, and then God spoke to her for each period after that. And I thank God for that, and I believe that is happening and will continue to happen with many others in our congregation in the years ahead. Our second candidate will be Dr. Paul Eckhoff. Dr. Eckhoff is at a hospital in Haiti, the same hospital that Dr. William Peepgrass served so faithfully for many years, a missionary of this church, and the son of Dr. Charles Peepgrass, who has been our missionary for probably 30 or 40 years with the Unevangelized Fields Mission. William Peepgrass is no longer at the hospital. When Dr. Eckhoff and his wife went down there, and by the way, she is a pediatrician, so both of them are medical doctors in that hospital. When he went down there, it was Dr. Peepgrass that trained him and showed him about the country and about the work there in the hospital, and Dr. Eckhoff has been there for one term. He's back here now, and his support is not what it should be, and so we have agreed to allow him to come to this congregation and to tell you about his medical work and that of his wife in the country of Haiti. He will be our other candidate. We have a project this year. I was surprised when I began to find out how many people in our church are involved in prison ministry. Many, on a volunteer basis, in many types of prison situations. One is Gail Rennie, a woman who has been the president of our Women's Benevolent Society for a 2-year period of time, been very active in our church, and God called her to a ministry with the Evangelistic Association of New England, ministering to the families of prisoners. A man or a woman may be in prison, but there's a family on the outside. It may be a wife, it may be a husband, it may be children. And so Gail is God's instrument to try to keep that together and to try to minister to the family while the loved one is in prison. She'll be presenting her work, and we'll present that to you for your support during the conference. Also, our deacon, Richard Mann, is the director of the Freedom Ministries, and this is involved with the families of young people in youth detention centers all over the state of Massachusetts. These youth detention centers are usually in rural areas, and it is very difficult for their loved ones to get out to these places because there's no means of public transportation. Many of them are from the inner city and are poor, and some of them don't even have automobiles. And so they will not get out to see their children in these detention centers unless someone takes them. Dick Mann and several young people from this church, which I didn't even know about, but now I'm aware, give of themselves and their automobiles at no expense to this church, and they take the families out to see their children in these youth detention centers. This is a worthy ministry, and we're going to present this at the congregation as well. Not just for financial support. We want you to know about these prison ministries, and we want men and women from this church to become involved with this personally, so that more people can be taken in automobiles, so that other women can help Gail in the ministry with the families, so that this will be a part of the outreach of Park Street Church in volunteer work, in giving, and also in prayer. Now, I want to close this evening with telling you that from our strategic planning meetings, we are seeking to know the Lord's direction for the years leading up to 2000. God has given us a rich heritage in our missionary program at Park Street Church, but that is no guarantee that it should continue in the future. God has been faithful in the past, and as we keep our eyes focused on His priorities, then we believe that God will be faithful and that you will be faithful in the years ahead. We are reviewing our policies. We are looking into support of nationals, both in theological training and also for some missionaries. We are looking to how we can further the involvement of not just our young people, but those in their middle years and even retirement years in short-term mission experience, whether it might be a summer or a year or 2 years, that you might have opportunity, as God would call you, to serve in a short-term missionary situation. So we're reviewing all of these things with the senior pastor, Dr. Fisher, and members of the Board of Missions. These things are being reviewed that we might know the mind of the Lord. But together, I am very optimistic for the future. I thank God for your faithfulness, and the missionaries are thankful to you. And together we shall move ahead in the years before us, holding the banner of the cross, bringing the gospel to the multitudes around the world as the Lord would direct us. And we thank God for your faithfulness and ask for your prayers and ask for your attendance at our missionary conference coming up in April. Now let us pray. Father, we thank you for your help. We are your servants. Everything we have, you have given to us. And so that which we invest in your work, Lord, is just what you have given to us. Father, we thank you for what you have allowed us to do. I thank you for every man and woman and young person who have invested in the lives of the missionaries and those that have been reached around the world. Lord, increase our vision and help us to make the needful decisions in the days ahead, that Christ might be glorified and his name magnified around the earth. Amen.